better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. I'm JT, and I'm here with my partner in crime, Joey.
That's right, guys, but I haven't spray painted on any walls since I was 15, so I'm not doing that much crime these days, just so you know.
Pretty disappointing. The only thing criminal about Joe is how much money he spends at Bunnings on tools.
Oh, hey, fuck, I'm a dad and I got a place.
Guilty.
Got grass to cut.
Guilty as charged. We are talking about what makes a great BJJ gym, because many people out there running gyms, you're doing the best you can. That's good of sorts.
Not fucking good enough.
Well, you might actually in some ways be letting yourself down. And, you know, let's full transparency. Neither Joe or myself run a BJJ academy. But that said, Joe owns and runs a gym. I have helped set up and run gyms. The business of business applies across the board. And we're going to talk about today specifically those things that make great gyms function as a business. Because that's the thing. Typically, you've got a great coach. They might be really good at jiu-jitsu, great competitor. But just slapping mats down on the floor and opening the door is not really going to ensure your success. So let's get into it. How did we – do you want to talk about how we got onto this topic, Joe?
Let's.
Please, dig in.
Well, if you've listened to the show for a while, you've probably picked up that I am I have some strong views about how jiu-jitsu academies conduct themselves. I think that a lot of them, we've spoken about it a lot, that generally it's kind of like the Wild West right now.
Yeah.
And it's getting a lot better. Like we're witnessing an evolution because jiu-jitsu is very young, right? It's whatever, it's been around in a mainstream way for like 20 years.
Yeah.
So in that way, you know, if you look at like fitness gyms, they've been around for like 50 years. I'm guessing they probably came up around the 70s or something.
Around that.
Around, you know. So in any case, from a business point of view, they're kind of very similar things. And one of them is a lot older, and so it's had a lot more time to evolve, whereas one's a lot younger, and so it's still in its infancy. And so if you think about like how a lot of jiu-jitsu started, like we talked with Sonny Brown, and he was talking about, you know, we're talking about like some of the original guys in the northern beaches of Sydney would travel to Brazil to get their blue belt and then come back and teach their students.
Right.
Right. So at that time, it was considered, it was considered exceptional that you had a blue belt.
Yes.
Right? Where obviously now a blue belt doesn't mean fucking shit. Right. No, well, it's still an awesome achievement. But you know,
as long as you don't retire.
Yeah. But besides kids' classes, you know, people aren't going to take the place too seriously if you're like, I put my best blue belt student to run the class.
No.
Right.
That's not the standard.
That's it. I've learned some shit from some blue belts. Don't get it twisted. So in any case, there's a thing that happens where that the business evolves and becomes more professional. And so jiu-jitsu is really kind of late on this part. And I think that's important to acknowledge because I want to hang shit on anyone. However, yeah, there's just some things that go down that you're like, man, gyms need to do better. And here's like overarching observation. There's gyms that do all of this stuff really well. They do the business, they have the systems in place, and they also teach amazing jiu-jitsu, and they're the gyms that do really well.
Yes.
I'm guessing – I haven't trained at Artos, haven't trained at AOJ, haven't trained at B-Team, but I'm guessing these gyms, they're the newer part of the newer generation, they do a really good job of everything.
Sure.
You know?
I think the difference is these places have already good business systems in place, whereas if you're coming from a small town or you live like on the coast or more regional, you're just happy to find a place that does jiu-jitsu. You know, and so you'll put up with a lot more lack of professionalism just to simply get your roles in, right? You're like, I'm just stoked I found some crew who roll. But then
– I mean, you train in a garage, right? If that's all you had access to, I was like, man, I'll roll with you. I'll beat the shit out of you twice a week.
Man, I'll roll on the concrete.
Yeah, I'll pay. Let me pay.
Let's go.
Like, I think part of me from a student perspective – I just burped in the mic, by the way. I think from a student –
speaking professional.
Yeah. That's right, guys. Tune in next week for more of the same. I think from a student perspective, you kind of take what you can get in a way. And so, you know, if you're lucky, if you have these big gyms and stuff. But I'm kind of talking more towards the business owners where those places have set up with a deliberate kind of plan, like this is how we're going to structure the business, this is how we're going to run the classes, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas previously, and still you see a lot of jiu-jitsu academies probably just open because the owner likes jiu-jitsu and is good at it, and that's their passion. And they're like, I'm just going to teach jiu-jitsu and I'm going to teach it really well. And they probably don't put any thought towards the actual business side of it. Yeah. And this is the class. This is the same thing with fitness. The same thing.
Lack of professionalism is life.
When we built our gym, which is the gym that we record out of, so it's Paul and T and myself who own this place here, Jungle Brothers. And when we built the first one, we were just interested in coaching people and training hard. We didn't think about marketing or sales or any of that shit. And then it wasn't until like 2 years down the track that we're kind of burning through all of our saved cash and in debt and no one's coming in, there's no growth. You're like, fuck, what's going wrong? And you realize, we were only focusing on the training. We forgot about this whole other thing, which is the business.
Yeah, definitely. And so the way we're going to break it down today, guys, we're going to go three kind of key things that a business has to do well in order to succeed. So even if you're someone who's very passionate about jiu-jitsu and you're very good at it, and even if you've got a whole group of people like, yeah, man, we'd come join you if you started your own school or whatever that might be, these three key elements need to be satisfied. And we're going to go first cab off the rank is sales.
Let me give you the scenario from the weekend. No,
so yeah, the context of this conversation is Joe did not have a good customer service experience. Elaborate.
It was on the weekend. I had some time in the middle of the day. My son was having a nap.
Nice.
So I was like, all right, hey, I'm going to go train some jits. And it was a choice between going to where I normally train, to their open mat, which is busy, or this new gym that's open nearby my place. And I'm like, well, I want to go check out this new place. I'd love to see what's up. I had a look at their Instagram, had a look at the website, saw that the class was on. Great, I'm going to go there. So I head around to pack my gear and shit. Head around to the place, get in there, and great looking gym. But there's a person behind the desk and there's no one else in there. And I was like, hey, man, what's going on? You know, my name's Joey. I'm here to check out the open mat. I was, you know, wondering if I could come train today. And the guy said, no one usually shows up to the Sunday open mat. It's a pretty quiet class. And And I was like, is anyone coming today? And he said, one guy texted me. He said he might come, but you know, what? Sunday. And I was understanding. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, fair enough. And he said, but you should come to one of our other classes. And I said, okay, yeah, sure, I'll consider that. And I said, hey, like, if no one comes to this session, why do you still keep it on your timetable?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I use it to do some admin at the gym. And I was like, okay, that's fair, you know. And I'm like, whatever, I can understand. It's a small business, a lot of shit to do.
But the timetable didn't say, Sunday, admin, show up while I do spreadsheets.
That's right.
Come on.
And so, you know, whatever, had a nice little chat with the fella and that sort of thing. And then I was like, all right, well, see you later. So I'll be honest. When I decided to go there, I already had in the back of my mind, I wonder if anyone shows up to this session.
Right.
I'm like, I could see that they have like a couple of open mats each week. You're like, young gym, couple of open mats. I don't imagine that they're all pumping.
No.
So in a way, I wasn't super disappointed. I went to the gym and did some bench press in memory of you.
Yes. Go, Joey. Piano that shit.
That's right. Yeah. Fuck, day's so good. I came away from that and was like, man, there were so many things in that exchange to me as a gym owner. Mm. And I don't manage the gym here anymore.
Yes. Right?
I just get to hang out and podcast and
as you do
some shit and post it on Instagram. But I fucking built this thing from the ground up, right?
100%.
And I ran it for many years. And there's some really key lessons that I learned in that. And just that small exchange that I had with old mate I was like, fuck, there's some gaps in there, in their processes there. So what did we say the first thing we want to talk about was sales?
You want to talk about sales. And I think the thing that's underestimated about sales, because a lot of people when they hear sales, they think it's cringy. They think of like a used car salesman being like sleazing up, being like, oh, I got a great deal for you, Dale. And it's not like that. Really, sales is about understanding a person. So you say, how can I help you? What do you want? How can I help you get what you want? And because not everybody is going to be your customer, but if you treat people correctly, people will always remember, oh, that person was like, they were a good, genuine person. I'd like to maybe go back and hang out with them, you know? Even if at that time they weren't your customer, they could always be your customer down the track. So big part of sales is how you treat people. And it, from what it sounds like, Joey, that guy didn't really treat you that well. He didn't treat you badly, but he didn't say, oh, hey, man, oh, well, do you want to have a role with me? Or because that's what I would think. I've run classes where one person showed up, but I didn't go, oh, sorry, no class today. I'd be like, oh, it turns out this is a private lesson for you. That's cool. And now I just put all my energy into them, you know, at least from an instructor perspective. It strikes me as kind of weird that there wasn't even a, not like an olive branch, but there wasn't even a token gesture of like, oh, hey, do you want to do some stuff? Like
something,
a jiu-jitsu
right?
guy something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and you're totally right. I, you know, for many of those years setting up the gym, it's like if we've said that there's something on,
you do it.
You got to do it. If it's just one person that shows up, fuck, tough shit.
Eat it.
Do it. It's a private session for them, exactly. Now, admittedly, it did say open mat, and so I suppose this is it's a gray area for jiu-jitsu because, like, no, nah, open mat, there's no instruction. It's just whoever's here can do the thing. So in that way, I'm like, you know, whatever. What I think was really lacking in that moment, right, was the idea that someone has come to your business, so they've looked at your business online, they've looked at your timetable, right? They've probably browsed your Instagram, which is exactly what I'd done. So I looked over the Instagram, I checked the website a few times, right? I'd returned back to the website and I'd made a decision, oh, I'm going to go check that gym out.
Mm. Made the effort.
Yeah. Now that is a significant thing in the customer journey, right? For your business that's out there, for someone to be looking at it without you knowing and then decide to finally step in the door, it's a big deal. So when that person steps into your gym, you got to fucking treasure that moment.
It's golden.
Right? So it's like, okay, I got someone here. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Right? Don't fuck it up. But it's like now, exactly like you said, JT, you have to find out as much information about that person as you can. So the fucking golden rule for me at that point is to listen and not talk. Mm. Right? So if you're the salesperson, and this is where, like, yeah, people think sales is cringy. Man, sales is essential. You have a product, which is your jiu-jitsu classes. You sell that for a price, which is your membership. Sales is the conversation or the transition that takes someone from being interested to engaging with your product. So you can think whatever you want about it, but if you're not confident in your product and you're not willing to go through a sales process, you're not going to be able to build your member base.
No.
Right? So you actually have to be really proud of what you offer and you have to kind of treat it with that sort of respect. So yeah, in that moment, it's like, guy should have been asking me a million questions.
Yeah.
Dude, what brought you here?
What are you training?
Bro, you got big cauliflower ears. Where are you at? What color belt are you? Oh, wow, 13 years. Okay, dude, why did you come here? Man, awesome. Do you live nearby? Like, as much, like, gather as much information as you can because people love to talk about themselves.
Of course.
I'm just a person. I'd love to tell the guy my story, right?
Yeah.
For me to be able to, like, expound all that, and then even if the dude at the end of that was like, man, I'm so sorry. We're super new. Some of the class are a bit light. Today there's no one in.
Yeah.
But hey, check it out. Like Friday's a banger. I'd love to have you in.
Please come back.
Will you come back this Friday?
Yeah.
You know, and I probably would have said, okay, yeah, I'll come back. Like because I can see you're trying. You're here,
trying, yeah.
Right? But the classic thing of like, hey, just come back, you know, is like now you're putting it on me. Now you're putting – I got like two or three other gyms I train at.
Yeah.
I really just came here on a whim. Yeah. Like I'm probably never going to come back.
No.
You know, and whatever. I'm not the guy that he's trying to attract. But for every,
Hang on. I wouldn't say that's true. I just say that guy doesn't know how to attract shit. Like say what you want. That was a very poor job. There's no rapport. There's no trust. If anything, he's let you down as the customer. He expects based off those three solid foundations, you're just going to walk back in because it was such a good experience. Man, fuck that. I don't think that's true. I think what a lot of people underestimate about the communication side of what sales is people only buy from people they like / trust. And nothing that he did built rapport or it gave any sense that you can rely on this guy. You fucking can't. He's doing his taxes and you just came to do some jiu-jitsu. It's like, dude, do it on your own time. I came here to roll. You know what I mean? Like I think it's
yeah.
Well, it just indicates a bit of ignorance about how to treat a customer and then also how to even get a customer. Because he didn't take your contact details or anything, right?
Well, no, that was the other big ball drop was like there was no like, hey man, why don't you give me a phone number and I'd love to like invite you to this session. I'll give you a call like on Wednesday and, you know, I'll send you a text to remind you.
follow
like, up. Yeah, because every single person that comes in, you need to capture their details. You need to follow them up, right? Like, it's sales. Like, you need to be active in, holy shit, this person's made the – they've put the effort in to come into my business. Now I need to do everything I can as the business owner
– honor that.
– to try and, like, get them to engage and convert into, you know, a customer. Whereas, yeah, putting it on me, I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Look, I might come back, but, you know, probably not, right? Now, let's look at who, like, that guy's – his more target audience, right, would be someone who's maybe never done jiu-jitsu and has been thinking about it, or maybe someone who's trained a little bit but, you know, who lives in the area, right? Someone who doesn't. But for those, people, it's the same thing. His gym is contending with all the other gyms in the area. And if one of those other gyms has a good sales process, has a good system for following up, you know, has a good active Instagram and all the things that we're talking about, he's going to lose
for sure.
Because they're going to – even if the class is like average –
yeah.
They've just got a better system for onboarding people into their business.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the lack of recognition of kind of – obviously he wasn't in business mode, right? He's there. It's a Sunday.
Caught him off guard.
Yeah, but it's not caught him off
guard.
He's
like, I got a couple hours to myself. No one comes in today.
Perfect.
Yep.
But, I mean, I still feel that that is a mistake in terms of how you run anything professionally. You have to show up. And I think this is something we get from the fitness world. If you're a personal trainer and someone's paying you 70, 80, 100 bucks to be there, they want your energy, they want your attention. That's what they're paying you for. You can't be like, oh, look, I'm a bit tired today. Look, yeah, if you just, yeah, just kind of do what we did last time, I'll kind of, you know, that's not what it's about. You can't do that. You're not going to be successful if you run your shop like that. I think jiu-jitsu is like, if you recognize another experienced jiu-jitsu person, they're going to have so much that they could bring to your gym. So if you could win them over to be like, this is a great place to be, you should train here, that makes your gym better. So if you can't even have, I guess, just in that moment, a little bit of perception or foresight to be like, oh, this guy could be, he could be really helpful, or
yeah, I can. You know, there's something of benefit here.
It could be an ally here. Yeah. It's not like you're just some new white belt dude or whatever. But I think the respect for the customer is lacking from what you're saying. And I think when you're a business, and that's what it is, you've opened your doors. Yes, you want to teach jiu-jitsu, but you want to make money. Otherwise, the venture is not sustainable. You need to be able to have an ability to get that person to want to give you money. And if you don't create an environment that's good or trusting, if you don't have a process for staying in contact with them as a lead, if you understand anything about leads and sales, then you've just kind of like someone's come to give you a gift and you've gone, nope, don't want that. Like, that's – it just indicates a high degree of ignorance around how to run the business.
Yeah, what you're actually doing.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, I think
we've kind of poked holes in that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what would be the good thing to do there. What do you think would be, like, the dream run? What could be the three perfect things that guy could have done to have got you across the line, maybe even got your money, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
What would be the best way?
So I think first thing would have been just to gather as much information about me as possible.
Yeah, number one.
Make me feel really special. Ask me heaps of questions. Because once he knows my situation, then he can tailor the sale to me.
Yes.
Right? So, oh, okay, cool. You're a black belt. Oh, okay, so you're not looking for a regular place to train. You live nearby though. Okay.
Nice.
Your son's asleep on a – he naps at this time. Okay, so the open mat – you know, like all this stuff is like, boo, 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 boo. You're connecting the dots. And then, man – let me show you around the gym. Let me show you around the gym real quick. We're super new, but let me check it out.
Here's the story.
Sell me the place a little bit. Sell me – cool. Okay, cool. Because I want to see. I want to know what's going on, you know. Mm. And then the last thing would be get my details and organize a time for me to come in where we can train.
Yeah.
So then maybe it's like, hey, bro, me and the coaches here, or there's some more advanced guys. We train at this time each week. Do you want to come by? I'd be fucking mad to have you. Oh, yeah, I'd love to. You know, like that for me would have been perfect.
Create the relationship.
Exactly.
But that did not happen.
Fucking didn't happen.
So,
and the name of that gym. No.
Yeah.
not about that, right?
Like, it's not that. We're not trying to throw people under the bus.
No, it all comes from a place of love. And it's wanting gyms that are offering, like, I'm sure that what they're offering in the class is awesome. You are failing in your mission to deliver that because you're not allowing people to access it.
You're impeding
customers.
So,
yeah, so by doing a good job of the business, you actually allow yourself to do a good, like, you allow yourself to have the greatest impact on the community.
Definitely. And now, step two, which is very key, is marketing. And this is something that, not necessarily this gym that we were talking about, but most gyms, you know, in previous episodes, we talked about how they have a terrible website. A jiu-jitsu gym will have a terrible website and a garbage Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the same boring pics, or coach takes a picture of their acai, or like, it's not a professional account. It's
heck of a read day.
It's a personal account in the name of the gym.
Yeah.
You know, and those are two very different things. And once you start to learn the game of Instagram, which is it is a marketing tool for, doesn't matter if you've got a bloody OnlyFans or you're just trying to keep up appearances, whatever you're doing, you're trying to communicate something about your business to people, and consistency and a look and whatever filters you use, the composition of the photos, the nature of the videos.
Composition.
If this is not consistent, then this tells the customer you are inconsistent. And I think when we come to the idea of marketing, it's about communication.
Yeah.
And I'll get you to dig into this, Joey, from a business perspective.
Yeah, so the marketing thing goes like hand in hand with your sales, obviously, and it's really how you tell the world what it is that you do, right?
Oh, yeah.
You got the name Jiu-Jitsu, you know, like whatever, All-Star Jiu-Jitsu Academy. It's like, okay, that alludes to you do Jiu-Jitsu here. But there's people that don't know what Jiu-Jitsu is. It's people that maybe heard about it, not really too sure, you know, is it karate, is it judo? Like, as an academy owner, you have an obligation to tell outsiders what it is that you actually do. And that's like, this is what our classes look like. This is our community. These are some of the people in it. Here's some of the values of our business. Like, just breaking down all the different things so that someone can look at that and go, oh, cool. Oh, I see people there that person looks like me.
I like that.
Oh, they have a beginner's class. Oh, jiu-jitsu is not actually about athleticism. It's about leverage. Yeah, like all this shit, right? But the classic thing you hear from gym owners is like, oh, I fucking hate Instagram, man. I hate doing that. And it's kind of like me saying, I hate the warm-ups, or I hate your coaching. I just want to do the roles. It's like, tough shit. You got to do that stuff in order to be able to be good at the other stuff.
It's a lack of discipline. Like,
yeah, it's like you have to recognize the importance of, and it's not just Instagram, but that's like the very base level that you could be doing.
Yeah. And look, this might hurt you, but this is just reality. Deal with this. You could have the best product, the best artwork, the best service in the world, but if no one knows, you're going broke and you can't keep doing that. And that's sad. But you got to get on board with what this is. If you have a shop, you got to put the shingle out there. You got to put your sign out so people know who the fuck you are. If you're not prepared to do this, you should not be in business. This is a really key detail, because I got some friends who are artists and they're like, oh, I don't like doing this marketing type thing. And yeah, marketing and sales go hand in hand, but the better you market, you're just telling a story. You're just letting people know who you are. This is our version of what we do. This is what we care about. Communicate the culture. Show that this is a place people would want to be. And when you tell that story, people go, I'll buy that. I'll buy into that. I'm interested in that. And sometimes people don't come around for years. You know, people follow you for years and years and years, and then finally they take the plunge and they walk in the door. They're like, man, I've been meaning to. It happens here at Jungle Brothers, right? You see someone kind of walking, they're like, I've been walking past for like a year now thinking, oh, that looks cool. You know, it's not that it's unapproachable, but it's kind of a little bit intimidating. Like, it looks cool. I want to get around that, but they got to build up the courage. And provided that when they're checking on you on Instagram, they're checking your stuff online, they're listening to the podcast, they're like, these are cool people. I want to be around these people. Marketing is storytelling, and you letting people know that you're a nice, trustworthy, good business is the essential part of running the business. If you don't do that, people will not trust you and they will not buy from you. It's that simple.
Yeah. Just on that, like, if you're not a nice business, like if you've got attitude in your business, let's say you're B-Team, right? No, then tell that story.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Because people are like, fucking sick, I want to train there.
Yeah.
Obviously, that gym's not for everyone.
No.
But you can tell, right? It's through their marketing, it has a flavor that everyone can taste.
Yeah, sure.
And you're like, damn, that place is like, looks fucking cool.
Yeah.
And this is what effective marketing is, right? YouTube, Instagram, podcast. Like,
sure.
The podcast is one of our greatest forms of marketing.
It is.
Anyone who's listening to this and has listened to more than a couple of episodes, they know us.
Yeah.
Like, they know us better than we fucking probably know ourselves, because
that's true.
Like, you can't hide who you are and what it is that you feel passionately about.
You can't remember every podcast you did, but then when someone who's listening is going, oh, you remember when you said this? You're like, oh,
no.
Oh, did I? Yes, I did.
Yeah. you got to choose your form. But, you know, Instagram is, whether fortunately or unfortunately, it's kind of a directory that most of us use now. So if I'm looking at a, if I'm looking at for a gym, I'm always going to check Instagram. Oh, let me find out about this place, right? If you got a gym now in this time here in Australia, I don't know what it's like in other parts of the world, you kind of need to be there, right? And it's fine if you don't want to play that game, if you have principles that prohibit you from doing so, but don't complain then that things aren't going the way you want them to,
well,
right?
Then we've got to go a different step, right? That's where you've got to go to, if you're not going to have Instagram, then you need to have a really good website. And your SEO needs to be fucking nice.
Yeah.
And you need to be pushing. Like you,
yeah.
You're playing a different game. Then you're paying Google and you're like, yo, try and get me on the front page and
all that.
And that's a, that might even be a heavier lift. I think Instagram's very easy and they've made it easy because you can just do it off your phone. And it is a bit of a social currency thing. And I'm not saying this because I love Instagram. I'm just saying I've observed different channels. Like some people use YouTube, like Keenan Cornelius. You know, Legion uses a lot of YouTube and they've done well. They've done technique stuff on there, but they also do kind of funny stuff on there and then just live training. And you're like, wow, that's a snapshot of what it's like to be at Legion. And you're like, looks good.
That's cool.
Gym's huge. They're cool. He's a champ. Why not?
Yeah.
And you can also see the flip side of that when the instructor's like, oh, I'm avoiding social media, 5G, bro. You gotta watch out. You're like, what? You know, like you just, you're like, okay, well, maybe you know, you've got bigger problems to worry about that's not jujitsu or business related. You've committed to this thing. You love jujitsu, and if you're sincere about that, then you want to share with people. You got to reach people, and marketing is how you reach people. Even though it is work to a certain extent, it is necessary. And so, accepting that having a solid approach to marketing. That's how people find out about you. That's how you grow your community. That's how you share your jiu-jitsu. So what would be the three things you think, Joe, people need to nail to have like a good approach to their marketing?
I think regular storytelling.
Yep.
On whatever platform you're comfortable with, but just doing it on a daily basis. I think telling people very explicitly what it is that you do and what you offer. So, you know, these are our classes, this is the timetable, et cetera, et cetera. Showing the community, showing the people that come to your gym. I can think of a few gyms that do this really well. Grappling Education do a great job of this.
Yeah.
Right? Little featurettes on their members. And you're like, awesome. Like you're gaining an insight into the people that are there. You see, oh, that person's, wow, that does, oh, that person's like me, like busy professional. Yeah. Those three things.
Key.
Show the community.
Now, last but definitely not least, maybe should have put it first, is customer service. So it's this idea of, like everyone could be your customer, really. I mean, you're down the cafe, you're talking to someone. How you treat them or how you conduct yourself, it sounds strange, right? This is a bit more overarching. But the relationship and how you respect somebody is absolutely key because without respect, you can't have friendship and people only really buy from their friends. If someone doesn't respect how you conduct yourself, they're not buying from you. And this is absolutely, in my opinion, base level of giving customer respect. Customer service is customer respect. Mm. And from my perspective, from what you've said, Joe, the last interaction for you was not necessarily the most respectful situation.
Yeah, there was a lack of it. I guess it kind of ties in a way with the sales process. But yeah, if we look at it from that customer service lens, it's like, you know, think about when you go and eat at a place. You go to a cafe and let's say you walk in and you're like, do I just grab a seat or do I wait? And then, you know, someone's like, oh yeah, just sit anywhere. And you're like, okay, great. And you take a seat and then, you know, no one comes over to you for a little bit. And then someone rolls over and they're in a bit of a huff and they're like, do you want coffee? Do you want to order coffee? And you're like, oh no, actually we'll get some food. Let me get you some menus, you know? And you're like, okay, it's a bit disjointed. Now kind of compare that with you walk into a place, there's a little sign that says, please take a table. We'll come over. You know, you go, great, sit down. Someone comes up, hey guys, how you doing? So busy, but I'll be with you in a sec. Let me get you some water. You know, they give you some water. They come back, you know, 60 seconds later, how are we doing? Do you guys want drinks or do you want to go straight into food? Oh, you know, I want to get food. Cool. Menus are already here on the table. Do you need some time or do you want to order now? You're like, oh, give us a minute. Great. They come back a minute later. Hey guys, what would you like? Yeah. You know, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, cool. All right, got you. Sweet. Be with you soon. Really efficient, really nice service. You're like, wow, we're getting looked after. The first one, you're like, this is all a bit fucking, I'm not really sure what's going on here. I feel like the person's a bit flustered. It's sort of a shitty experience.
Yeah.
Right?
There's not, it lacks service.
Yeah, it lacks service. It lacks professionality, right? Yeah. All those things. Now, in a jiu-jitsu gym, it's like, what are the interactions? They're a little bit different. But the first one is, yeah, someone walks through your doors.
Mm.
Hey, man, thanks for coming in.
Welcome.
How can I help you? Like, what brought you here, right? So it's initiating a sales conversation. But what else could be customer service? It could be how you get a new student a gi. Like, are you trying to sell them one straight off the bat, or do you have a loan gi that they can put on? Hey, this change room's over there. Chuck this on. Like, go into the change room, chuck this on. Come out, I'll show you how to tie your belt. Versus they walk out onto the mats with an ill-tied belt. No one shows them. And, you know, 6 months later, they got two stripes, but they still don't know how to tie their belt.
Yeah.
Right? Person hasn't showed up because they sprained their ankle in training and they haven't received a phone call from you.
Following up.
Yeah, then they haven't been in for a month and you're like, oh, I wonder where so-and-so is. Versus you know exactly where they are because you called them the day after they injured themselves and you've touched base with them every week since.
Of course.
Just to let them know, hey, man, hope you're doing good. Love to see you back in here.
Because you care.
Yeah, like there's so many places where that customer service can take place but often does not.
It could be totally subjective. Like it could be totally, oh, I'm a nice person and I like to talk to people and stuff. But even if that's not you, let's say you're a bit more of an introverted person and you struggle with the dealing with people thing, because I know there's plenty of people out there who have that. It doesn't mean that you have to be the grumpy barista. You know, you don't have to be like, oh, what do you want? Oh, you want oat milk? We don't fucking oat milk. What are you looking at? You know, you don't have to be that person. But what you could do is the communication thing. And we touched on this a little bit with the traveling bit. You go to a gym and they don't give you any direction and you're like, where do I put my stuff? Do I sit? Can I actually go on the mat and warm up? Like no one tells you. Whereas it's so much easier even if someone just says, oh, hey, put your stuff there. Wait for the class to finish. Once the class is finished, just sit there and, you know, just giving you some direction. That is customer service.
Yeah.
Just those little bits of information just take the pressure off you as a customer to know what the fuck is going on.
Like, yeah.
It shouldn't be on you as the customer to have to work this business out. They should be telling you how to engage with the space and what to do and make you feel good about it. You shouldn't be feeling guilty. Like, people are like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah, I'm fucking new. Like, I can't read minds. Treating people well is key to all these things, your sales, your marketing, your customer service. People have to want to be around you. And when people have always asked me, like, oh, what's a good gym? I'm like, oh, you got to kind of suck it and see. You got to go there and find if it's the right vibe for you.
Yeah.
Are you happy to have these people squashing you on a regular basis? If you don't like them or you don't trust them, then probably not, unless you're like a really, really tough human and you don't care. You got to want to be around those people. And the customer service is really what can keep you coming back. So it might just be something simple as, not saying this is necessarily the case, but maybe you forgot your credit card or something and you need a drink and the coach just goes, no, you can just have it. Just something small like that. You're like, what a nice gesture. Like they're like, no, I know. You're my person. I don't want you to be dehydrated. Just, you know, that's fine. Like Adam's done that for me and I left my wallet in the car and he's like, bro, just...
I thought black belts get free Gatorades over Advantage.
There you go. There you go, Adam. We've got some outstanding debts. No, it's fine. But it's little gestures done consistently that makes you have a nice feeling about the place. Not just the people, but the experience. I mean, I only travel economy on planes because I'm not on that level yet. but I have been in lounges. I don't know if you've ever been in an airport lounge where they have, like, you pay money to go in, but they've got massage chairs, they've got aircon. Like, if you're in KL, if you're in Kuala Lumpur Airport and it's humid as fuck and it's, like, 35 degrees and 90%.
Sweating from all that chicken and rice you just ate.
But you're like, you pay this money, you go into the, like, really nice aircon, they just give you complimentary drinks.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, this is amazing.
I feel like a king.
Yeah, that is customer service.
Yeah.
Like, you are explicitly paying for it. It would be nice if the whole airport was like that, but
yeah. And there's something I can imagine that some maybe people listening are like, yeah, but you know, it's a hard nose academy that I run, and we, you know, it's a fucking fight gym, man. And here's the deal: like, you can still be that. You can still be the gritty, hardcore gym where everyone fucking gets after it, and that's the thing. In the same way that, like, you can have the sickest coffee in town, but you can still do a really good job of customer service. If you can do both of those things, it doesn't mean you have to make your gym. We're not saying you have to put like air freshener in the bathrooms. It doesn't. You don't have to make it. It has to be on brand with what your thing is.
Hygiene is still.
Hygiene's a big one, of course. Right. But it's more just like looking after people.
Yeah.
You know, looking at letting them know that they're valued. Yes. You know, and so however I do that, you know, with you, whatever it is that I need to do, whether it's send you an Instagram message every now and again, or you know, we give you a little follow up thing, or we celebrate birthdays in the gym, you know. Just something to let you know, hey, each of you people that are here, like I value you.
Yes.
I think that's really what it comes down to, isn't it?
Definitely. And everyone has different expectations, right? Just thinking about my guy, Mark Raymond, just a young savage, just out in the wild. He doesn't care about anything. As long as there's a mat.
Who's Mark Raymond?
Mark Raymond is one of the guys who I graded to blue belt when I used to train out at Kings. Young, kind of real great prospect for MMA, really interesting guy, wild child. Absolute wild child. Would just go camping, minimal resources. Let's catch a kangaroo and try and cook it, something like wild.
Yeah.
But then you've also got another guy who is a businessman. He's a like Adam. Adam, you know, you're listening. He's a consultant. He's high level. The guy gets paid a lot of money. He has sports cars. You know, these guys are training at the same gym. Very low expectation on one side, very high expectation on the other. You got to kind of keep both of them happy.
Yeah.
So as much as you might say, oh, we're a gritty gym or we're whatever, what I've noticed is certain gyms don't last if they can't look after people. Your brand shouldn't be come in here and if you're tough enough, you won't break. Like I feel that this is only the tiniest percentage of anyone is happy to be in that environment. And even high level fighters, like take Rob Whittaker's gym, for example, his new gym out, huge joint.
Smeaton Grange,
Narellan. Mate, it's a classy gym. It's huge, but its toilets are super nice. They got a cafe in there. Like it's because, you know, you got parents that are going to come hang out while their kids are training. And, you know, but you want to have an environment where people would happily be there even if they weren't training. And that's this idea of like, I belong here. I like the place. I like being here. And how you treat people is very much at the heart, I think, of the customer service piece.
Yeah, absolutely.
There it is.
Good spot to wrap it. Fam, sales, marketing, customer service. Hope that helps. We're going to do a second part on this. We're talking more about the culture piece, aren't we? Hey, fam, if you're watching this on YouTube, thank you very much. We appreciate you guys. Please subscribe to the channel. It lets the algorithm know that it's a show that other people should watch. And wherever you are listening to this show, please also subscribe on that and give us a 5-star review because same deal. That lets other listeners on Spotify or iTunes know that they should check out the show. And of course, if you want help with your training, you can start our program for free over at bulletproofforbjj.com. See you next time.
Appreciate you guys.